she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my good morning to you. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your host, David Blessingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
Colby Gargamel.
Hello.
Hello, and I'm Sybil Summers. Welcome.
It's accent day.
Oh, let's do accents.
Okay.
Oh, that'll be fun. Are you doing British?
Well, I'm not sure. What does it sound like?
David, what's your accent going to be today?
I'm going to talk like David.
Yeah, there you go. Colby, what's yours?
I think I'm just going to go British today.
There you go. I like it. I like it. If you'd like to call us here in the studio, our phone number is 877-881-1053. You can also send us Autoflex Leasing fan texts, 43733, and you can even call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Well, in America, they're either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area.
Out of the country.
Out, well,
if
you
could. If you're calling from England.
Yeah, you could dial 001.
There might be a country code you have to dial first.
That's the 001. And you know what? If you want to go online, autoflex.com is a great place to start looking for a car or examining what a lease might do for you, because there's lots of information there. And there's also lots of pictures of our pre-owned cars there.
That's right. I got to tell you guys a funny little snippet. Yesterday, my sister gave me a fish for Christmas. And yesterday on Rage, I was asking the question, what should I name the fish? And people were sending us fan texts, and somebody texted in, name him Autoflex Fish. Oh, yeah. So maybe that'll be his name.
You got a fish? Your sister gave you a fish for Christmas.
Isn't that the worst gift ever?
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm thinking.
The most unique. I've never heard of that. What kind of fish is it?
It's a betta, those little Siamese fighting fish
that you can get
at the pet store.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get somebody a pet if they didn't ask for it. That's a responsibility.
Oh, that's you know what you do is you bring them a kitten or a puppy.
Right.
Yeah, next year you get a mastiff puppy.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, she's getting one next year. She's getting a tiger.
Or a bird. They're real messy.
Oh, okay.
And they're loud.
Oh, and
they're loud.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Birds do two things. They crap and they scream.
but have an alternative home for the bird before you give her the bird. Go ahead and have a
that or
another
she
place
might,
for the bird to live.
She could always fricassee the parakeet.
What is that?
She could fry him
cook
up.
It? Oh. Well, she knew before she gave it to me. She even called me and said, you're going to hate your gift. I was like, why would you give somebody something and preface it with you're going to hate your gift?
Was she drunk when she went shopping?
I don't know. So I told her, I said, the fish hasn't eaten in a week. And we've had him now for 10 days. And he's not eating, so I don't know if he's going to make it.
Is he on a diet?
No, he just, I guess he's uncomfortable in his setting. People said I need to feed
him
pellets, not flakes.
Oh.
Maybe that's what it is. So she goes, well, don't worry. If he dies, we'll get you another one. I was like, no, if he dies, I'm done. I don't want any more fish.
Colby, do you want to talk about cars?
Cars?
Somebody needs to talk about cars.
All right, let's talk cars. Let's
talk about don't want to talk about football. Certainly not the Sooner football. Wah, wah.
You watched the Cotton Bowl last night?
I did. For a second there, I thought the Aggies were playing the Cowboys.
Oh.
I did not say that. I love my Cowboys and I love my Sooners, but I was just disappointed about what's been going. The action in that stadium has not been going my direction.
I know.
Now let's move on to cars. I just had to get some sympathy. Anybody loving on me?
There's lots of people out there who are with you. Let's talk about fuel economy.
You know, it's become one of the more important things that people consider when they're getting a car. And records now show that 2012 was the best year for fuel economy in the history of the country. It's up 9% from what it was last year. So we averaged the cars that we sold in 2012, all of us collectively across the country, averaged 23.8 miles per gallon combined. And that's, of course, using the window sticker as a guide, which means that if you have a Kia, it might not be quite that good. Sorry. there's a lot of reasons, though, that the fuel economy is getting better. For one thing, we're buying more small cars than we used to buy. For another thing, hybrid sales and electric sales have improved that overall fuel economy for a few people. And if you looked at like the big cars to the small cars, almost 30% more small cars were sold last year. So it's pretty amazing how people have moved in that area. The other thing is a lot of the new technologies have moved toward fuel economy. There's a lot of, you know, again, smaller engines, but they're turbocharged now. And we talked about the EcoBoost Ford, which is the V6 engine they put in their pickup trucks and their SUVs that really gives you a tremendous amount of power, but it's still a V6 and it runs very efficiently. So we're go ahead. I'm sorry, Seb.
Well, I have a question. Now that we're talking V6s and four cylinders and all that, actually, Richie from Rage and I got into a little debate about this this week in the car, because he is a he has a BMW 328i and I have the Lexus IS 250, and he said his car was a V6, and I said, are you sure? Because I used to have the exact same car as him and mine was a four cylinder, and he said, well, yeah, all luxury cars are V6 or higher. And I was like, no, I think it used to be that way, but now they want it to be affordable to people like me, and they have four cylinders available.
Well, and here's the difference, too. Now they have some technology they didn't have a few years ago, so that's why you're seeing smaller engines in a little larger cars, because they can turbocharge those engines.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have, now they have direct fuel injection, which is controlled by a computer. That improves your efficiency a great deal. So there's a number of technologies that have allowed them to put smaller engines in larger cars and still get the kind of power that they used to get.
Right, but luxury cars do have four-cylinder models available, right?
Certainly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I win.
Sorry,
but they
Richie.
Also have six cylinders, and BMW is doing turbocharged four-cylinder engines. They're doing diesels, which is not mentioned in this particular story, but that's another way to get more fuel efficient, which Europe has been doing for years. They've been much more fuel efficient than we have for a long time.
Right, and now there's stop-start technology, and you're going to see that. I think the first major vehicle that's come out in is the half-ton Ram pickup truck, and they've got stop-start in that pickup truck.
He has that in his car, and if you pull up to a red light or a stop sign, the engine shuts off.
Yep.
It's like a golf cart, and then as soon as you hit the gas again, it picks right back up.
It's like a what?
Golf cart.
A golf cart. There you have it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and the other thing is cylinder deactivation, and that's really sort of an interesting story, because what that means is as you drive your car, when it reaches highway speed, part of the cylinders deactivate and you quit using. If you had a six, maybe you run on four. Or if you had an eight, maybe you run on six. And this goes all the way back to 1981 when Cadillac produced the first variable displacement engine. And it was called the 864, and it would run on eight cylinders or six cylinders or four cylinders. Unfortunately, in 1981, they didn't have the technology that they have now. So that it was called the multiple displacement engine. Well, first of all, they were going to call it the variable displacement engine, but then they realized that would end up being called the VD. So they said, that's a true story. And so they called it the multiple displacement engine, the MD. And then
Sounds much better than VD.
Well, it does, but it's stronger selling.
I mean, you have to go to an MD if you have VD, I suppose. But
that's true.
It is true. So they produced the multiple displacement engine, which did not work like it was supposed to, because they just didn't have all of the technology then that they have now. So the MD became the Mad Dog.
And that's
what it was nicknamed by all the service technicians.
I got to pull back the curtain for the listeners here. When we were first coming up with the name for this show, Saturday Morning Test Drive, originally it was going to be the Saturday Test Drive.
Right.
But then we realized it was going to be
STD. Yeah.
So we added morning in there.
That's exactly right. That's true. I'd forgotten that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And of course, Sybil's the one that pointed it out. She's all about those...
She's sensitive.
Right. Especially to STDs.
Yes. So anyway, now they have cylinder deactivation, and it does work. So you've got a couple of cars. Honda makes a good car that does it. The new Chevrolet Silverado will have cylinder deactivation, so you can run on less cylinders and use less gasoline while you're rolling down the road. It's huge technology, and it's caused a big – right now there's a glut of oil. Because we're not using near as much gasoline as we used to use.
In the Ford Explorer, their four-cylinder, their smaller engine is actually, their smaller, more fuel-efficient engine that gets like 2 miles per gallon better is $1,000 more expensive than their bigger V6 engine.
Which makes no sense, except they charge because they can.
They can.
The interesting thing is, it's like the new light bulbs.
Yeah.
Right. How would you like to pay $35 for the light bulb that you used to pay 78 cents for? Oh,
no thanks.
Sign me up.
You have to determine how many miles you drive to break even on that extra $1,000 that you spend up front. And then when do you start recouping your money right. after that.
Well, so and that's if you're, that's if you're rational.
Miles, it makes no sense.
That's if you're rational.
But if you call Autoflex, like I just went through this with one of my customers who is coming in today to see Gary about a car. She wanted to lower her payment somewhat and improve her fuel economy from the current SUV she is in. So we discussed several different vehicles and what would accomplish her goal. We have a program that not only calculates all the leases for many, many different cars, our Flex Lease computer system, but we also have some programs that help you with the fuel economy so you can compare. We take what the window sticker says you're going to get, and then you can take your average fuel economy of those because nobody drives just highway or just city.
Right.
Plug all that in and give you your fuel savings as or cost, I should say, as well as your monthly lease or loan payment, and you know what your overall cost is going to be. Of course, you're going to have to handle your insurance cost.
Right, right. But it really does make it easier because if you're thinking about a new car and you're thinking, well, maybe the payment's going to be $10 higher or whatever than the one I got 4 years ago, you might save a lot more than that in gasoline with a new car. And our FlexLease computer system, you put in all the numbers and it'll just spit out how much money it's going to cost you to drive it.
I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Makes it so easy for people like me who can't do math.
Well, or you don't want to do all the comparison. I mean, you could spend a month of Saturdays trying to look at four cars.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the average, you'll spend like 5 hours at a dealership.
Yeah.
From start to finish to test drive the car and learn all about it and maybe look at a couple of other in that same brand that you might compare with it and then trying to find out, well, should I do a lease or a loan? And before it's all done, you've been there 5 hours, you're hungry. You paid the babysitter, or you've used up your one, you know,
free pass with mom that week.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got to do it three more times if you want to compare three more brands.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing is, where do you get that kind of information? Because when you go to a car dealer, they're not going to sit down with you and talk to you about gas mileage and how much money you're going to save in gasoline or insurance or that kind of thing. But when we look at a customer, we look at their whole situation because it's important. I mean, it's their money and it's their choice. Did you know the average car on the road, by the way, now is 11 years old?
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have gotten that wrong.
I think that's one of the reasons our business is good right now is because a lot of people are driving old cars, and they still cost a ton to fix. Even those 11-year-old ones, they cost a ton to fix. So they're out of warranty. And
well, even at 11 years old, those cars still have computers. You know, they're not carbureted engines with no computers and crank-up windows. These 11-year-old cars have power everything. A lot of them have anti-lock brakes, and they have all those ECMs, electronic control modules, and oxygen sensors, and all those things and emissions that we know cost a whole lot to repair.
Right. All right, we've got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Your hosts, David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby, and me, Sybil. Our phone number is 877-881-1053, and our Autoflex Leasing fan text, as always, 43733. David, if you want to call Autoflex, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, if you live out where you can barely get the radio. And also, you can go to autoflex.com, reach us that way.
Now, a lot of people are familiar with Carfax, and they've maybe used it, at least seen the commercials, and we've talked about it a few times here on the show. But today we have a special guest, Jim Ziegler. He's an author who has a special Carfax story. Jim, welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Well, good morning.
Morning, Jim.
Thanks for joining us. First of all, what's your website for people listening?
ZieglerSuperSystems.com. It's Ziegler, ZieglerSuperSystems.com.
All right.
Thank you.
Jim, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I am having the best day of my entire life.
You know, anytime you speak to Jim and you ask him that, he says the same thing.
I like that.
He is the most positive individual I've ever met, I think, anyway. And he's positive that he's not real happy about Carfax in some different ways. And, you know, Jim, we've done some stories about Carfax and how they've affected the industry, but you've got a lot different take on it than maybe most people do or the populace does because you've done the research into it. So let's talk about how they, number one, how they affect the car business, car dealers in particular, and how they sort of, how they affect them.
Well, the first time I got that Carfax came up on my radar screen was I was watching their commercials on TV, and it's always that the dishonorable car salesperson is who's obviously stupid, is trying to deceive the public and hide something and cheat the public, and then the little cartoon fox rats him out. And in the car business, we have done so much in the last 30 years to elevate the ethic and standard of our industry. I personally resented that. So I started looking into Carfax and finding out who they were and what they were all about, and it turned out to be a pretty nasty picture.
Who are they?
Well, first of all, there are other services that replicate what they do. They're not the only game, but they've branded themselves so strongly that the public thinks Carfax, there's the good guys.
Right, and that's the first and only one out there.
Exactly. There's one, Experian has one called AutoCheck that I find to be slightly more accurate, in my opinion, and it doesn't do the things that Carfax does with the consumers and the dealers.
Well, and that's been our experience also at Autoflex. We use AutoCheck because it's proven to be more accurate, especially when you're talking about previous damage on a car.
Well, let's start out with the premise that none of them are accurate.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, there is so much information that they don't have access, in so many states they don't have access to the information. And the biggest problem is if you go to Google and you put in Carfax consumer complaints or consumer affairs, and there's one website called Pissed Off Customer, and start Googling up and you will find hundreds of consumer complaints, even lawsuits against Carfax.
What would be the why are the people unhappy and why are they suing them?
Well, because they have a latency issue. And a lot of times, like my own son, for instance, I bought him a Honda Civic 2 years ago. The Carfax was absolutely clean. And then when he went to trade it in this year, Carfax comes up with the airbags were deployed and had been in an accident a year prior to when we purchased it.
Well, how does that happen?
Well, they got the information late.
Oh.
And that has, and if you look at all the consumer complaints in Google, that is the number one complaint. And consumers lose thousands of dollars.
Well, yeah,
the buyers lose a lot of money. They bought the car thinking it was upright. They trusted Carfax. Then later, an accident that was prior, or a big repair that was prior, pops up, and all of a sudden their car devalues $2,000, $3,000, $4,000.
You know, you and I talked about this earlier, and I went online, and I also found some consumers that had Carfax reports reporting damage when they had owned the car since it was brand new and it had never been in a wreck.
Amazing. They get their information from repair shops, insurance companies sometimes. Very few government agencies, however, they do in some states. Other states don't release that information. So they have incomplete information, and they get late information. It's amazing. And the repair shop may or may not report the damage.
Well, and of course, if you paid cash to have the damage repaired, say you didn't want to involve your insurance company, then again, you've got a clean Carfax report.
Like parents with teenage drivers. Hi, Jim. This is Tammy here.
Hi, Tammy.
I was just thinking, yes, definitely there are going to be late reports. There's no way they can have any of that information in real time. And then I have plenty of clients that call me for guidance on a body shop to take their car to, so that they can skip the insurance company. They don't want to file the claim. There's nothing illegal, ladies and gentlemen listening, by the way, about doing that, paying on your own for a repair that your child caused, and not filing on your insurance. That's
right.
Going to save you money on your insurance rates. Nothing illegal about that, but that information then does not get reported on any AutoCheck, Carfax, none of them.
None of them.
Okay, so there you go.
But the point being, Carfax presents themselves in the commercials as being the ultimate authority.
Right.
They give the consumer the impression, although their documents disclaim it.
Well, I am going to say that's marketing.
That's marketing.
Well, the whole thing is, the whole company is marketing.
Right.
And so that's, and the other thing is, and here's the, and I've said this for a long time because we deal with this on a daily basis. If I want to know if the oil's been changed, I pull a Carfax. If I want to know if the car's been in a wreck, I pull an auto check because they just show more.
Is auto check available to the average person, or do you have to be in the industry? Like, could somebody call? Do they
That's
need to call you
question.
To get it?
I don't know the answer.
We use them, and if anybody wanted a report on their car, I'd be glad to give it to them because we have an agreement with them, so we can use it as much as we want to.
Right.
I would guess we can probably check that on the website. But if you Google that, I'm sure that you can pull one as an individual, and it's a lot less expensive to pull.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, well, and as Jim said, they're owned by Experian, so they're a big, reliable company.
Right.
They've got your credit report.
No, Carfax is owned by Polk, I believe.
No, that is correct, yeah.
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 Yeah, Carfax is owned by Polk, which is also a big survey company.
How did they get such a stranglehold on the dealer side of the business?
Well, Tammy said it. Tammy, you said marketing, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Marketing. I mean, they have so branded
themselves the first ones, too.
As being the good guys, and they are not the good guys. They have settled lawsuits. I mean, if you go online, you'd be amazed at how many hundreds, if not thousands, of negative reports that consumers have put in about them, and it's amazing. They've managed to protect that reputation, and I had a banker call me day before yesterday, and he knows I'm on the Carfax campaign. He said, Jim, he said, I had a dealer deliver an automobile to a customer with a very clean Carfax. We did some investigation on our own and found out the car had major repairs and damage, and we did not fund the deal. In other words, the customer's loan was turned down, which adversely affected the consumer and the dealer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they trusted the Carfax, and the bank, through other means, was able to determine that the car had been in a record damage. I don't know exactly which, but enough where they didn't fund it.
Right, that's a terrible situation for the dealer for the consumer.
And here's where the dealers get really upset. And I work with literally thousands of dealers. I'm a national figure in this industry. It is amazing to me that the dealers always get the blame. The consumers believe the dealer altered the Carfax.
Right, right.
I know we have no control over that. Let me read you something that's on the Carfax website, bottom right corner, and it's in light gray, not in bold print, just so you know. Carfax vehicle history reports are based on information supplied to Carfax. Carfax does not have the complete history of every vehicle.
Ah, so there is a disclaimer. You just have to look for the fine print.
I don't remember the Fox saying that.
No, I don't remember him saying
it. We got most of the information sometimes.
We're talking with author.
It might be right.
Well, you know, and the other thing they did, Jim, is, and it was smart, was Carfax went in and made deals with large dealer groups to contract, well, and better than that, with a couple of the large.
Well, name them, autotrader.com.
Exactly.
Cars.com,
yeah. They made a deal with Autotrader and Cars.com to be their exclusive provider. And so then if you wanted to shop on those sites, you had to get a Carfax report, and that was the Bible.
And they tell the consumer the Carfax is free, and they don't tell the consumer the dealer has to pay heavily for that Carfax. It is not free.
No, and it's really not free. You know, it's almost, it's over four times as expensive as the competitors that
are
out there. It's 400%
more expensive, and the dealer has to pay for it. And I'm telling my dealers, tell the consumer it's $25.
So,
yeah,
so I'd like to inject my humble opinion.
Please.
And I always tell consumers this. Get it checked out by your own mechanic or a Lemon Busters or whoever it is that you trust. You can have the vehicle checked mechanically because Carfax doesn't know jack about how the car's running.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know. And as far as the accident, you can do the same thing at a body shop because any body man knows if a car's been in an accident. I can tell a lot about a car that's been in an accident, and I've never taken a panel off of a car, but there are certain signs. So you can check a lot of these things yourself.
Here's the kicker. Here's the dirty trick. When Hurricane Sandy blew through the upper northeast this past fall in November.
Right.
Carfax on every car put a big warning at the top of the Carfax. Warning, this car comes from an area that might be storm damaged. I forget the wording. Beware of this car. However the wording went, and so they put a stigma on every car that was sold in that area.
Right.
Which will affect the trade-in value of those cars.
Oh,
because
the people lost thousands.
Yeah, when a dealer looks at that, a lot of guys aren't going to worry about, well, we should check this out. They're just going to go, okay, well, this is worth less.
Mm-hmm. We're talking.
So many consumers are being so many people trusting Carfax are being damaged by Carfax.
Well, and you know, here's the other thing. There's other services out there, and we haven't talked about this. And as you said, none of them are reliable, but
not by 100%.
None of them sell themselves like Carfax does as being the authority.
Right. Jim Ziegler from ZieglerSuperSystems.com joining us right now on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. What can people do if they've had the same experience that you and your son had, where the report comes up after you've already had the car for a while and you bought it with a clean record, and then suddenly things start popping up on the report?
Well, the dealer's certainly not liable because the Carfax report was clean.
Mm-hmm.
And Carfax assumes no responsibility, as you just read the gray print.
Right.
You know, so basically the consumers are out on a limb. There's thousands of dollars out. And that's, if you look at all the consumer complaints, you know, to Consumer Affairs and all the other agencies, that even that site Pissed Off Consumer, if you look at all the complaints, overwhelmingly it's that the Carfax came in late with information that predated the sale, and they had a clean Carfax at point of sale, and then a year later, 2 years later, Carfax pops up with bad information predating the sale.
Mm. Jim, we have an Autoflex Lacing fan text where people text in questions while the show's on the air.
Or statements.
Or statements. And one of them wanted to know if they had added that disclaimer after the lawsuits on their website. I have no way of knowing that.
Right.
I have no way of knowing when that disclaimer came about, but there was a class action suit that I read about in my research that was a pretty hefty settlement, and the court evidently rejected that settlement as not being enough.
Ooh.
It looked like more than enough to me, but I didn't know how many complaints were in that particular lawsuit.
You know, and to let our listeners know, Jim is in the automotive business, has been for his whole life. He's been on the dealer side. He's been on the supplier side. He's now on the speaker side, basically. He's a motivational speaker and a trainer. And this is, Carfax is not the first company that he has taken on because of negative results from what the company does. There's a company called TrueCar.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim actually caused them to have to change the way they did business because they were not doing business in a way that they should have been, that most people would expect it to be. They sold themselves as being something different than they were. And that's right, isn't it?
140,000 page views on the blog.
Wow. Fear the Ziegler.
Well, I want to say this. In this information age, Jim, and, you know, I might be contradicting what you even think, but, you know, I have to say, whether it's Carfax, AutoCheck, any of these systems, I think you take that information as a baseline, okay? So you can look at where the car has been, and you look at some minor things. And if it does say it has damage, I believe that that is your signal to investigate further, okay? It's not necessarily don't buy this car or whatever. It's either means investigate further, negotiate more on the price, check the car out further. But I think you use it as a guideline, you know? I understand you don't want them doing things wrong, but there's no way, if there's all these different states and everybody doesn't have the same rules and regulations, there's no way you're going to have a perfect system. And, you know, if you're talking about the body shops have to supply the information, and the insurance companies have to supply the information, and then individuals that get their cars fixed don't have to supply the information. And by the way, a dealer selling a used car doesn't even have to tell you that
unless
the car's been wrecked.
Yeah, unless they know personally that it has.
Right, well, unless somebody on their lot wrecked it.
Let's stop there for 1 second. I do business with 98 corporations that own car dealerships on contract. And I'll tell you right now, no dealer I know, no franchise dealer that I know, would knowingly even carry a car that had been previously wrecked.
I agree to that.
Would never knowingly do that.
No, we wouldn't either, and we don't. It's just that legally you're not required to. Now, most good dealers would never, ever do that. We wholesale. If we've got a car that's we find has been in an accident, we just wholesale it.
Okay, but do you know how, okay, I'm going to be the counterpoint here, but do you know how many cars they count as having been in an accident when it's just a little bitty fender thing that was dented in mm-hmm. because somebody backed into it in a parking lot or something? It was minor.
Shopping cart damage.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But that counts as an accident. Now the car's not worth $2,000
more. Well, they changed the water pump Carfaxes on it.
Right. So,
and Carfax is printing. Here's another thing. They're printing on the Carfax how much devaluation that car should take because of the damage.
Well, that's, you know.
And I'm not sure how you decide that if you're sitting at a computer somewhere
how
in another state.
How do they arbitrarily price the cars? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy.
And it's all supply and demand anyway. The marketplace determines that. So,
but Carfax will show a $2,000 deduction, for example, because this car has had airbags deployed or whatever. Who are they to tell a consumer that their trade-in is worth so much less and
yeah.
actually print a number?
They're exactly. the authority. You have to ask the fox.
Well, they're trying something. I think that it's wise for us to educate, you know, mm-hmm. our listeners, educate consumers, and just be aware because, again, I'm all about it being a baseline and, you know, a warning. But certainly not the end-all, be-all.
Our advice to anyone that's getting a used car is to have it checked out.
Yeah.
Just because it's inexpensive, and then you know from an expert, and there's plenty of services to do that.
Mainly because
third parties.
And yeah. don't forget, Carfax or any of them will not report an accident that wasn't reported.
Right. And if you take it to someone who's actually looking at the car, that's going to be different than somebody, like yeah. you said, who's sitting at a computer.
So yeah, in another state.
There's some things that can be reported because somebody put a G instead of an L in the VIN, mm-hmm. which messes it up. And then there's a lot of stuff that will never get reported because they didn't want to file it on their insurance. So it's not 100%. There's no way. Take it to an individual and have it checked out.
A lot of these complaints, the consumer swears there was never an accident, never repair. And
yeah.
And they've owned the car the entire time.
Yeah, I read through those, Jim, and it's pretty amazing. And again, just like Tammy said, somebody writes down a 6 instead of an 8,
mm-hmm.
and it goes on your car and not on the car it was supposed to go on.
Well, it's all a matter of data aggregation. Data in our society today is running wild. Whether it's Google mm-hmm. or whether it's TrueCar, that they're taking consumer personally identifiable information. And they're using it against the consumers.
There's another whole show in that. I'm just telling you. Because, you know, we deal with it, Jim. I mean, and we've talked about how when a consumer gives their information to a car dealership like us that they're doing business with, there are some companies that will try to get that information from us as we pass it on through portals to lenders, say, and then reuse that information, and the consumer never is aware of it.
I audited a dealer in Illinois recently and found that 79 vendors were taking consumer information out of his computer system.
Yeah, it's important to know who you're doing business with and what they're doing with your information. And a lot of the dealers, just like that guy, probably did not know that was happening.
It's hidden in the contracts, and they sign up with these vendors, and vendors have a clause on page 35 that
right.
says that we can extract data out of your computer, and you signed off on it.
Yep, and they do.
It's like that's what drew me to TrueCar. TrueCar was extracting data out of the dealership's computers, personally identifiable, financially identifiable information about the consumers.
Ooh, boy.
And, I mean, big data is out of control. That's a whole show.
Yeah,
yep,
that'll
it
be
is.
A different show, which we appreciate you coming on our show
to right.
discuss this. And I know I'm argumentative, but I like to think about every single point of view. You
right.
know, I want to make sure our listeners are
fully covered.
Please
exactly.
be argumentative.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us. We've really enjoyed having you. It's good talking to you, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
I'll be back anytime.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
We certainly
Bye-bye.
Will. The website, ZieglerSupersystems.com, if you want to read up more about Jim Ziegler and Carfax. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with David Blassingame, with Tammy Pickard, with Colby, and with me, Sybil. Our phone number, if you have a question, maybe you have a comment about what we've been talking about, 877-881-1053. As always, you can send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan text if you're not driving at 43733. And you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. Out of the area, as always, AutoFlex.com. Great way to start. Great having Jim on, too. He's a really, really good guy. He is. He does not, and we've had a fan texter that said he had a personal agenda because of his son's car. Jim doesn't have a personal agenda because of anything. He's a guy that's been in the industry. He's widely known. He's an expert. He testifies as an expert. He's a motivational speaker, and he's a trainer. So he's a good guy, and the problem he has with them is the way they purvey themselves to be the ultimate authority. And how the other thing he has is that because they make car dealers look shady if they don't give you a Carfax. Right. And I think that's the biggest thing, because Jim's known as the dealer defender, and he's right. Most car dealers would never sell you a car that has been in an accident knowingly.
Right.
You know,
right.
It just wouldn't happen. It doesn't make good sense. It's not good business.
And it's just going to lead to problems for the dealer down the line, because then the person inevitably is going to return it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Be fighting about it.
Another fan texter, an AutoFlex Leasing fan texter. Where do I get a used car looked at? Well, there's a number of places. Lemon Busters is the most common that people have used for years. Property Damage Appraisers, PDA. If you'll tell them what to look for, they'll go out and do it. Crawford and Company will do it. And there are other people that will look. But you know what? If you take it to a body shop, more than likely for a couple of bucks, they'll be more than happy to go over that car with you, mm-hmm. look at it, and tell you if it's been in an accident before, because they can tell. If you've been in the body business, if you're an estimator, if you have been, you can see that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy.
Yep.
So over the vacation holiday, I went out to Mexico. Little did I know that Mazda was down there with their big Mazda plant, and they're planning, they got big stuff in the plans.
Building cars.
Yeah.
For North America.
Yeah. You know what? They are building a plant right now in Salamanca, Mexico, and they have just announced they're going to increase it by more than 20% from their original plans. Why? Because they're going to build more cars down there, including 50,000 cars a year for Toyota.
Ah.
All built in the Mexican plant. And you wonder why they would be going to Mexico. Well, two reasons. Lower production costs, because the labor costs are so much less in Mexico than they are here. And a free trade agreement with 37 countries.
Mm-hmm.
So it costs them less if they want to export those cars. You know, Mazda is the only manufacturer of cars that was not building cars in North America. They were building all of their cars in Japan and shipping them over. So when you had a yen imbalance with the dollar, it could cost them money. They had the shipping cost. It's a lot cheaper to build them in Mexico and ship them to the United States. And again, it's a lot cheaper to build them in Mexico. That's why so many of the manufacturers are moving to Mexico, because of that and the free trade agreement.
I'm surprised Mazda and Toyota are kind of teaming up together. I didn't realize they would do that.
Not at all. In fact, we'll talk a little bit about the teaming up of manufacturers, because it happens more than people know. But in this case, Toyota will contribute to their costs for their factory, and then they will benefit by the manufacturing of the cars there, not having to ship them overseas, or being able to ship them to South America without a 10% tariff.
Sounds like a win-win.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Now, David, you also mentioned that Mazda was going to try to go luxury.
Well, they announced this a few weeks ago, and I've not read a whole lot on it, but they are going to change their entire image. They want Mazda to be a luxury vehicle company, much in the lines of, say, Lexus and Acura and Audi and those kind of cars. And so they are saying that they're going to change their entire image and their entire being and change into a luxury vehicle line. So we'll see what happens with that. But it's several people have tried that. It's not worked well. Volkswagen did it with the Phaeton, and it didn't work well here. They still sell them in Europe, but it didn't work well here.
Let me look into my crystal ball. Oh, there's the picture. Fail. It's not going to work under the name Mazda. They're going to have to come up with another brand, just like Nissan, Toyota, Honda, they all did it. They came up with Acura, Lexus, Infiniti.
Yeah. And that may be what they do.
The 929 didn't work. It was more expensive. Nobody's going to pay top dollar for Mazda. We don't pay too much for our jeans at Walmart.
Right.
But we do at Nordstrom. Okay.
You're exactly right. It's all perception, which we've talked about on the show before. But once you've branded yourself as a certain thing, then it's hard to break that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Mazda doesn't build a good car.
Autoflex Leasing fan text, what if I just bought a new car on Sunday and it had and the hood has been repaired? What can I do? Okay, well, a couple of things. There are a lot of new cars sold that have had paintwork done because they got a scratch on them when they were at the factory still. So all the factories have a small area set aside to do minor repairs so that the car can go ahead and be put on a transport and sold.
But that's not a wreck.
It's not, and just because the car has paint on the hood doesn't mean it's going to be worth radically less money. If you're talking about just a factory repair like that, it's probably not going to affect the value of the car at all. Maybe, maybe minor, according to how long you keep it, who's looking at it, but that's not a major deal. That's not a $1,000 or $2,000 deal. And there's a lot of people driving cars out there that had that type of work done on them that no one knew about. The dealer didn't know about it because it happened at the factory still.
Now, sometimes there's transportation damage. A car can get damaged on the transport truck from the railhead to the dealership where there's a scratch or whatever.
Right.
And then if it's over a certain amount of money, they will disclose that to the consumer
right.
at the time they purchase the car.
Mm-hmm.
So you know going in that, hey, this car's had transportation damage. So I'm not sure what exactly happened, but you're welcome to call us on Monday at 817 or 972-234-1234 and tell us more about your situation.
Yeah, and if it's just a scratch on the hood, I wouldn't worry about
That's
it.
That's not going to affect
Yeah, I just wouldn't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. Okay, the National Highway and Traffic and Safety Administration has delayed their rule on backup cameras. You know, they've talked about it since 2010. They were going to mandate that all cars have backup cameras, and they have delayed once again releasing that ruling, and I'm not sure why, but it's the third delay now. They're estimating that if a car did not have a video screen in it already, like a nav screen, it would cost between $159 and $203 a vehicle to add those cameras. If it has a nav screen, $58 to $88 to add those backup cameras to every new car sold. We've talked to some industry experts that say it's going to cost more money than that, and that may be part of the delay because, again, it's just another item that will raise the price of your car. I personally love backup cameras. I'm not sure that I want the government mandating that I've got to spend another couple hundred bucks to have one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll defend to the death my right to not agree with that.
And what's the it's a good quote. What's the true cost, though? Is that what it would be to the actual consumer, or is that to the manufacturer?
To the factory.
Yeah,
and they're
going to
add on for us as purchasers.
The end result will be $400 plus to us.
We're seeing more and more backup cameras as standard equipment on a car. And I'm sure it's because the manufacturers understand that eventually it's going to be mandated.
Right.
So.
And I have it now in my vehicle, and I love, love, love it.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. It's helpful, you know?
Right.
It's one thing to turn around and look, but it's totally different. I know now that there is not a child mm-hmm. behind my SUV.
You know, now everyone in the business is pretty happy. I know we are because things seem to be settling down. 2013 probably will be a really, really good year for the car business because hopefully no more floods, tsunamis.
Mother Nature, you can't.
No more nuclear
don't challenge
meltdowns.
Her right here on the air.
No more fiscal cliff, although we have two more fights in the rounds to come. But, you know, we have really, really low-cost financing right now. You can get a pre-owned car, like at Autoflex, with an interest rate of 1.9.
That's amazing.
It's
practically
crazy.
Free.
Mm-hmm. It's when I see these ads
almost
for,
free, almost
for 0%.
You hear that a lot in Mexico, right?
Yeah.
When I see those ads for 0% financing, they're not giving you anything. I mean, nobody's charging for interest anyway.
Mm-hmm,
they're right. just cheap. There's a bunch of new product out there, great new efficient cars, cars that are turbocharged, cars that get better gas mileage, cars that are quieter, cars that feel better, cars with a lot more safety equipment. Almost everything has skid control, anti-lock brakes, lots of airbags, keep you a lot safer. And, you know, most cars out there, the average age is 11 years old now. So there's a lot of people in 2013 that will choose to go ahead and trade cars just because it's time.
Right. I'm going to pay attention to that on the drive home today. I'm going to see how many cars are like 2002 models and how many are like 2010 and after. No, because a lot of times you can't tell.
No, that's why I wondered. I just wondered if you would know.
But sometimes if the paint is a little duller than maybe some of the new cars, you can see that. Or the body style. I'm going to look for it, though.
Okay, our Autoflex Leasing fan texted back in about the paint on the hood. He says his hood does not line up.
Well,
now, that's That's different.
Sounding like a new car. It might just be new to you.
Yeah.
How old is this vehicle?
You know what?
Is
if you want to give me a call on Monday, if you want to come by, I'll be glad to look at the car. I did that for years, so I'll be glad to look at it. It's 972-234-1234. Call me on Monday. We'll make an appointment. I'll look at the car, and I'll be glad to share what I can share with you.
And I'm curious, you know, why did you buy it if the hood lines didn't line up?
Well, I don't think he realized it.
I mean, I'm not trying to be contrary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you got to check those things out when you're there. Look at the car. By the way, don't ever buy a car at night. And you've never seen it
no.
during the day?
No, don't. Seriously. Uh-huh. So many people go to car dealerships at night.
Well, that's when they get off work and maybe have time.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Right.
I mean, if it's a brand spanking new car, it can still have door dings because it's been sitting on a car lot. That's a parking lot.
That's like meeting somebody at a bar at 2 o'clock. You wake up the next morning and go, oh, my God.
Hey. Yep. What's the old saying? A 2 at 10 and a 10 at 2?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Okay, now here's an interesting story that was out this last week. They are looking for smarter dummies. The manufacturers,
that's a great headline.
Yeah, the manufacturers are all working on smarter crash test dummies. And this is what I was talking about in the
Wait, that's an oxymoron.
Yes. the earlier I was talking about how they all collaborate. Ford and Chrysler and General Motors for years have collaborated on development of crash test dummies because they're terribly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you have to think about it.
Millions of dollars.
They have invested. Electronic sensors all over them, and they run them into barriers going 40, 45 miles an hour.
And
so
faster. Sometimes.
They go from 45 to zero in 1/17 of a second, and then the dummy's head smashes the windshield or the steering wheel, or he gets crushed in the side, and then he has to get out and do it again. You know,
and all those sensors have to relay information back to the testers and say, okay, well, the average human would never have survived this, or, you know.
Right, and they have all different sizes of dummies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they have all these dummies, and they have millions invested. Right. I know, I'm loving this text.
Yeah, Autoflex Leasing fan text. My car has 3 mirrors, backup camera, bumper sensors, and my wife has 2 eyes, and she still managed to back into her sister's car. What can we mandate for her? Don't even ask, because the government will figure out a way to control it, I promise you. They'll make a rule. They'll do something.
Let's end on that high note. If you want to call Autoflex, again, those phone numbers, 817 or 972-234-1234, and the website is autoflex.com. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Kolbs for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. We'll see you next weekend. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. I'm so scared in case I fall.